2 Corinthians 8 and verse 16. But thanks be to God, which put the same earnest care into the heart of Titus for you. For indeed he accepted the exhortation, that being more forward of his own accord, he went unto you. And we have sent with him the brother whose praise is in the gospel throughout all the churches. And not that only, but who was also chosen of the churches to travel with us with this grace, which is administered by us to the glory of the same Lord and declaration of your ready mind. Avoiding this, that no man should blame us in this abundance which is administered by us, providing for honest things, not only in the sight of the Lord, but also in the sight of men. And we have sent with them our brother, whom we have oftentimes proved diligent in many things, but now much more diligent, upon the great confidence which I have in you. Whether any do inquire of Titus, he is my partner and fellow labourer concerning you. For our brethren be inquired of, they are the messengers of the churches and the glory of Christ. Wherefore show ye to them and before the churches the proof of your love and of our boasting on your behalf. Amen. Thus far we read the word of God. Our theme is Reflections of God's Glory. Reflections of God's glory. The apostle has in this chapter and in the chapter following, he is addressing the matter of the collection to be made for the poor saints at Jerusalem. And he is exhorting the Corinthians to follow through on their expressed desire to contribute to this the previous year. And so he is seeking to urge them forward in this work of helping the poor believers in Jerusalem. The first thing we learn is that God is the source of brotherly love. God is the source of brotherly love. Verse 16. But thanks be to God, which put the same earnest care into the heart of Titus for you. For indeed he accepted the exhortation, but being more forward of his own accord, he went unto you. The apostle thanks God for the care that Titus had for the Corinthian church. He thanks God for that. And he indicates in this way that all the graces in Titus were bestowed by God. He thanks God because God had caused Titus to care about the church at Corinth. You see, there is no good thing in us except God is the author of it. By nature, there is no health in us. There is in our flesh no good thing. And only by God's grace do we have any true holiness or love to God and to the Lord Jesus Christ. In the book of Philippians and chapter 2 and verse 12, wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. He tells them their responsibility to work out their own salvation with fear and trembling, But he gives the source as God, knowing it is God that worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. And so the apostle commends men when what they do is right. He commends believers when they conform to the word of God. But above all, he acknowledges God as the first cause of all true holiness in his people. So in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 3, we give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which ye have to all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which is come unto you as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit, as it doth also in you, since the day ye heard of it and knew the grace of God in truth. So he ascribes the beginning of their faith in Christ and their progress in it and all the holy fruits that stem from it to God, and he thanks God for it. We ought then to commend that which is right as surely as we must condemn what is wrong, but we must never forget that God's grace is the source of all that is ever truly good in the hearts of his people. Secondly, caring for Christians is shown by encouraging them to care. Caring for Christians is shown by encouraging them to care. Verse 16 again. But thanks be to God, which put the same earnest care into the heart of Titus for you. For indeed he accepted the exhortation, but being more forward of his own accord, he went unto you. Titus's readiness to go to them in the past is still there. He's ready to go again and to take part in looking after this collection and the conveying of the funds to the church at Jerusalem. And this willingness to be involved by Titus, this willingness to be involved in this gathering of funds and taking it to the church at Jerusalem, seeing that it gets to the church, the poor at Jerusalem, is an expression of Titus's care and brotherly love. But not just to the saints at Jerusalem who would receive it, but to the people of God at Corinth. You see, the apostle is talking about Titus's care for them. And he's saying that Titus's willingness to be involved in taking their givings to help the poor people of God in Jerusalem was an expression of his care for them as the givers of it. We said last time that doing good is good for us. Stinginess is a blight and harmful to the soul of a believer. Mean Christians generally do not flourish in the fruit of the Spirit as a whole. And so Titus is concerned for the spiritual welfare of the Corinthians, and he desires therefore to help them forward in this good work for their good, because it would be an expression of the genuineness of their love to the Lord Jesus Christ and to his people. He is concerned that they should not be harmed by failing to follow through their professed desire to help the people of God in Jerusalem. He had been exhorted, but he really didn't need exhortation. So verse 17 teaches, he accepted the exhortation, but being more forward of his own accord, he went unto you. When he says he went unto you, it is most likely that the apostle is speaking of the fact that Titus would take this epistle, and so when they read it, he would have actually have come to them. So his care for the Corinthians was that he desired to urge them on and to help them show their care for the saints at Jerusalem. Thirdly, some things should be seen of men. Some things should be seen of men. Verse 18 to 21. And we have sent him with the brother whose praise is in the gospel throughout all the churches, and not that only, but who was also chosen of the churches to travel with us with this grace, which is administered by us to the glory of the same Lord and declaration of your ready mind, avoiding this, that no man should blame us in this abundance which is administered by us, providing for honest things, not only in the sight of the Lord, but also in the sight of men. Some things should be seen of men. The apostle now, in verse 18, refers to one of the other men that are to be part of this delegation to take the funds from the Corinthians to Jerusalem. And this man, who we're not told who he is, he's just referred to as the brother whose praise is in the gospel throughout all the churches. Many guesses have been made. Some suggest Barnabas, some Luke, others Mark or Trophimus. But the fact of the matter is we just don't know. And we don't know why the apostle doesn't give his name either. But this brother is one who is praised or well spoken of in all the churches, which could be general or more particularly the Macedonian churches. And his praise is through the gospel in all the churches. That is, he is recognized as a man who labors in the gospel and on behalf of the cause of the gospel. Everybody knows that this man is a gospel man, that he labors and sacrifices that the gospel should be spread abroad. Now, it is right to declare a man's credentials in certain circumstances. We're not talking about the smarmy backslapping kind of thing. But it is right in certain circumstances that a man's track record of godliness should be declared. So in Acts chapter 15 and verse 25 to 27, the part of the decision of the church synod, the council at Jerusalem, Acts 15:25. It seemed good unto us, being assembled with one accord, to send chosen men unto you with our beloved Barnabas and Paul, men that have hazarded their lives for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We have sent therefore Judas and Silas, who shall also tell you the same things by mouth. So there, these men are commended as men who have hazarded their lives. Barnabas and Paul have hazarded their lives for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. In chapter 16 and verse 1 and 2, then came he, as Paul, to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timotheus, the son of a certain woman which was a Jewess and believed, but his father was a Greek, which was well reported of by the brethren that were at Lystra and Iconium. him would Paul have to go forth with him. He was well reported of, and it was right that it should be clear that Timothy was well reported of. And in the scriptures, as we know, we've seen in recent times, the elders are to be of good report of them that are without, and so on. It is right that that an established pattern of godliness should be recognized when it is necessary for the confidence of the people of God. And so the apostle is saying that these Corinthians can trust their contribution, they can trust these men with it, and they can have confidence because these are men who are well known for godliness in the churches. And so the churches of Macedonia had chosen this brother for this purpose. And so we read there in verse 19, and not that only, but who was also chosen of the churches to travel with us with this grace, which is administered by us to the glory of the same Lord and declaration of your ready mind. This grace, he calls this collection, this contribution, a grace. Now what he means is that the grace of God in them was evident in it. They gave because God had been gracious to them and worked in their hearts. And that was the cause of their giving. And so he calls it a grace because it was the practical fruit of God's grace in his people. And it is to the Lord's glory and the proof of their real readiness to give. That's why it says, to the glory of the same Lord, that is, the Lord both of the churches that sent these men, the Lord of Paul, and the Lord of these men, and the Lord of the churches, and the Lord of the church at Corinth and at Jerusalem, and declaration of your ready mind. The Lord would be glorified when their genuineness was manifest in the effect. They'd said they wanted to help. These men were coming to look after it and to convey the contribution to Jerusalem. The Lord would be glorified in the proof of the genuineness of their love for the people of God in Jerusalem. It glorifies the Lord that they should manifest their genuine love for the brethren, because that love was the fruit of God's grace, and God's grace would be displayed in this generosity, this actual tangible giving. And now the reason for all this organization is given. Why Titus, why this brother whose praise is in all the churches, why did it matter who took the money? Verse 21, providing for honest things, not only in the sight of the Lord, but also in the sight of men. And we have sent with them our brother, whom we have oftentimes proved diligent in many things, but now much more diligent, upon the great confidence which I have in you. It was not enough that the apostle should do what's right with this contribution. What was right in the sight of the Lord? He had to be seen to be above reproach. And so whether it was his handling of the contribution, the funds, or who he sent to collect the Corinthian contribution, it had to be beyond suspicion. He fended off all suspicion of misuse. He didn't say, well, I know before God that I'm doing what's right, and people can think what they like. There is a legitimate concern about appearances. Now, we know that the Pharisees were all concerned about appearances. That's all they had. But there is a right concern about appearances, not for pride's sake, not for vain glory's sake, but in order to close out the devices of the adversary, and in this case, any suggestion of dishonesty. And so no trustworthy brethren were to be sent and to be involved in this matter. This abundance administered by us, this generous gift, was to be administered by Paul and by others, but the others, like himself, were to be men of known integrity before God, providing for honest things, not only in the sight of the Lord, but also in the sight of men. To ignore such considerations would not be spirituality, but pride. Sometimes it can seem spiritual to say, well, I don't care what anybody thinks. Well, that's all right if it's a matter of standing for a principle and upholding truth. But there is a time when we should care what others think. If it is possible to avoid reproach and suspicion, then the apostle did so. Fourthly, Christ's glory is displayed in his people. Christ's glory is displayed in his people. Verse 22, and we have sent with them our brother, whom we have oftentimes proved diligent in many things, but now much more diligent upon the great confidence which I have in you. Whether any do inquire of Titus, he is my partner and fellow helper concerning you. For our brethren be inquired of, they are the messengers of the churches and of the glory of Christ. Wherefore show ye to them and before the churches the proof of your love and of our boasting on your behalf. They're sending another brother. So they're sending Titus, they're sending this brother whose praise is in all the churches, but now here another brother. Again, he's not named, we don't know who he was, but he's someone that Paul had always found diligent and earnest. He says, whom we have oftentimes proved diligent in many things, but now much more diligent or earnest. He's always been earnest about the Lord's cause, but all the more so now on account of his confidence in the response and cooperation that he expects from the Corinthian church. The apostle is saying, this man has always been zealous for the Lord's cause, and that zeal, as it were, glowed at the thought of going to the Corinthians because he knew that he had confidence that they would be cooperative and helpful. You see, upon the great confidence which I have in you, or the margin says, which he hath in you. And if we take it the second way, then it's easy to see that the man's confidence in the Corinthians caused his desire to be involved in this work, as it were, to fan into a flame. He mentions Titus again, verse 23, whether any do inquire of Titus, he is my partner and fellow helper concerning you. Saying, if anybody asks about Titus, what sort of a man is he? Can we trust him? Tell him he's a fellow laborer. And he is especially a fellow laborer with the apostle in seeking the good of the Corinthian church. That's why he says, he is my partner and fellow helper concerning you. Titus labored for the good of the Corinthian church alongside the Apostle Paul. And then our brethren, again, he's talking about the other two men, or our brethren be inquired of. They are the messengers of the churches and the glory of Christ. So this verse is summing up the three men. He's saying, there's Titus, my fellow laborer, concerning you. And these other two men, if anybody asks, they are the messengers of the churches and the glory of Christ. The messengers, those sent by the churches. Here is a very broad use of the term apostle. It's normally used in the narrower sense of those special messengers sent by God with infallible truth, but here, and eyewitnesses of the resurrection, but here it's, or of the risen Christ, here it's the messengers sent by the churches. And they're called the glory of Christ. The glory of Christ. How can that be said of mere men, that they are the glory of Christ? Because these are men in whom the glory of Christ is much reflected, the effects of his grace making them Christ-like mean that Christ is manifest in them. That's not perfectly true of any man in this world, but it was in exemplary measure evident in these men. That the Spirit of Christ wrought in them such a measure of conformity to Christ that they are said to be the glory of Christ. Christ's glory was manifest in them. Therefore receive them. Verse 24, wherefore show ye to them and before the churches the proof of your love and of our boasting on your behalf. When these men come, let it be clear to them and to all the churches that sent them, that you really do love Christ, and you do love his people, and that my glorying, my speaking so well of you, was not misplaced, but was none other than what the facts proved to be true. And the apostle, in telling these men, in telling the Corinthians that these men were the glory of Christ, he's telling them, these men are to be received, and you are to cooperate with them and show the genuineness of your love, not only to them, but to the churches which sent them, and to the church in Jerusalem that needs relief. Well, the application is very simple. First of all, there should be no false separation of love to Christ and conformity to him on the one hand, and our disposition of generosity with money in his cause. If love to Christ doesn't affect how we view our possessions, then can it really be genuine? A tight-fisted Christian is a contradiction in terms. And that needs to be stated sometimes, doesn't it? And we ought, our love to Christ ought to show itself in a generosity of spirit, not a foolishness and rashness, but a generosity of heart. The world has a different view. They only have this life. And for them, they must enjoy themselves as best they can now, and their possessions are generally seen as a very important factor in their enjoyment of this present world. Christians, they have an inheritance beyond this world. If we cling to every penny that comes into our possession, if we're tight mean, selfish. It tells the world that this Christianity means nothing. They're just like everybody else. They talk about treasure in heaven. They talk about the world to come. They talk about fellowship with Christ. But in actual fact, they're just the same as the rest of us, living for what they can get and hold on to. And then also we learn how the inspired writer connects everything to the Lord. His grace in his people and his glory displayed in their actions. What are we here for? To glorify God and to enjoy him forever. To show forth the praises of the Lord Jesus Christ. Here the apostle, if you look at it, he connects all the parts. Why does Titus care? Well, he cares because of the grace of God in him. Why should the Corinthians care about the saints in Jerusalem? Well, because of the grace of God in them. Why should these men be trusted to bring the contribution? Well, because of the grace and glory of Christ in them. And why does it matter if the whole thing comes off or not? Well, because the Lord, the same Lord, is glorified when his people show their love one to another. You see how the apostle constantly connects everything with Christ. Even in this matter of money and helping the poor saints, he's connecting every point with Christ. Christ, his grace in his people, his glory manifest in the actions of his people. Whether it's Titus, the Corinthians, the messengers of the churches, Christ must be honored by his grace in them being evident in their behavior. We ought to think always of the Lord. We ought to think, we might say vertically, not just horizontally. This matter of finance wasn't just a man-to-man affair. Christ's glory, his grace in his people and his glory is intimately involved in what happens with this money. Christ's grace is displayed in the way his people behave with their possessions. His grace is manifest and his glory is made known. The apostle has already connected Christ's grace in his atoning death with giving to the poor, back in verse 9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. And he connects everything with the honor of Christ. Christ's grace in giving himself in redemption accomplished, ought to motivate us to honor him with our substance. And that grace working in us in redemption applied will incline us to honor him with our material things. The doctrine, the heart, the money were all connected. The truth of the incarnation, of the redemptive work of Christ, and its application by the Spirit, its effect on the heart, and the effect that that had on their dealings in material things. Christ must be glorified in everything. In everything. There is no part of our lives, financial, the home, anywhere, where we can say this is nothing to do with the Lord Jesus Christ and his honor and glory. Everything all parts of our lives must be under the kingship of Christ and must be engaged in for his honour and glory.